Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day weekend Friday. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Fridays on Jaguars Today. Always are. Live from Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend, Fat Tony.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day weekend. I was just checking. You asked me a question right before we came on, and I was just checking to make absolutely sure.
Well,
I,
it's always, we know it's an official station holiday when the Fat Tony Show gets canceled or preempted or anything like that, if that is, in fact, going to happen. And we're not doing Jaguars Today on Monday.
No, I'm off on Monday.
I'm not doing Jaguars Today on Tuesday.
I know, you're taking the four-day weekend. It feels like the rest of the building is taking the four-day weekend starting today.
Yes. Yes.
But you're taking the four-day weekend starting tomorrow.
When you say the building, you mean Everbank, right?
Yes.
Yes. There's.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening at 9090.
Skeleton crew here. I know this. I know what's not happening at 9090 Hogan Road. Tyler Devitt.
Yeah.
It's not happening. We requested. Can we get some Rakeef Waters in here, please? Is that possible? What's up, Rakeef? See, we were right. We were rewarded with Rakeef. So Tyler's got his four-day weekend started a little bit early. He says he's under the weather, Tony. And I didn't doubt him until he just retweeted the Tom Bush question of the day a minute ago. What is he doing?
We got Monday off, and Tyler is sick on Friday.
Air quotes, sick on Friday. Hey, whatever is in the plans, it's going to be like broiling this weekend, isn't it? That's what it seems like.
It's going to be hot, hot,
the case
hot
is going to be. Yeah. And really, it's only in the 80s. It's going to get a lot worse. We know that. But it just has seemed stifling out there lately. I, like, get off work. I mean, it's such a terrible burden I have. Do I play golf in the heat, or do I go home and go into the air conditioning of the house?
Well, we're used to, by the time we get to the players, already having had, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of that kind of weather, and it came later this year. It feels
like, is that what
like,
it is? It stuck up on me?
I think so. I think it just came a little bit later where it actually got this hot here in Jacksonville, but it's here now. It's warm out there.
Let me guess, with the 3-day weekend for you, and it's really a 3-day weekend for me. I do work on Saturdays. I just don't work this job on Saturdays, but I work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday off. How many more viewings of Mad Max over the next few days? Two?
Didn't make it yesterday. Every day I want to get back to the theater to watch this thing, and something just comes up or happens or whatever.
Because you realize it's a little overrated.
No, it's not overrated. At least not in my mind, it's not. And I'm definitely going today to go see Mad Max again. That is happening this afternoon.
All right, fine. Go on and go forth and live long and prosper, whatever the case may be. Enjoy whatever you do this Memorial Day weekend. Just don't be stupid.
Yep.
You know the drill. You're going to have a good time, have some adult entertainment, beverages, what have you. Don't drive anywhere, please. Thank you. And that's a request from me and my own personal safety and those of the people I care about, not for your personal safety. All right? And I'm just being selfish here.
No,
stay off the road, you drunks.
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much. Okay? I think we can all agree on that. Tony, we got a lot of things to get to today. Kind of a hodgepodge, if you will, of the sporting world right now. We got a little bit of an update on Deflategate. I know some are tired of it. It, again, is the predominant NFL news story of the day, so we'll touch on that today.
It's a four-time Super Bowl champion being accused of cheating by the league.
Oh, that's a succinct way to put it.
That's what this story is.
That's a succinct way to put it. There's also a couple of national stories that reflect on the Jaguars, one very positively, one not so positively. We'll touch on those a little bit as we go along today. More about an individual player on the team, Ryan Davis, and what a force he's become on a per-play basis, rushing the passer. We'll get into that. The one negative was UniWatch ranking the uniforms of all the professional teams in the four major sports, and, of course, that includes the National Football League. Jags not faring very well. Not fans of the helmet, they are, Tony.
Apparently not. I know you're not either. They don't bother me at all.
Not a fan of the helmet. All gold. That's what I'm still going for.
All gold would be sweet.
All gold would be the way to go. Not a fan of the two-tone look, but that's me.
We'll go all gold after they win a trophy.
Sure.
That'd be sweet.
Whatever. Does it matter what kind of trophy? Can I get?
Yes, Lombardi trophy.
All right, Colin's got a bunch of trophies, and I'd be happy to award one.
That'd be kind of cool. Like
if they
won the Super Bowl and then they were like, we're changing the uniforms to all gold. Like, that'd be awesome.
Well, it is the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl this year,
yeah.
The golden anniversary.
It is.
How fitting would that be that they debut their all-gold helmets in Santa Clara, California for Super Bowl 50?
The league would never let them do that.
Super Bowl L. Why not?
Never. Because they're sticklers for that kind of... They find people for sock colors.
Yeah, but
if
the team said, we're wearing... This is the helmet we're wearing.
They would have to have, like... They would have to pay a hefty fine. They'd let them play with it.
Shad wouldn't care. Shad would be like, that's couch cushion money. Right. We're wearing these.
What
right
are you going
to
find me? $500,000?
Right?
We're in the
right.
Super
we'll
Bowl.
We'll wear Reebok if we want to. We don't care. We'll wear Adidas. We don't care. We'll wear whatever we feel like we need to. Today's question of the day, Tony, which is conveniently brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, like it was yesterday and each day before that, that we do it, asks about what might have been type players. There's a birthday boy who falls into that category today. We'll talk about that a little bit more during this date in football history. But Marcus Dupree, one of the most dominant guys you ever saw on a college football field, and was the subject of the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, The Best That Never Was. And it's his birthday today, and he's got a Jacksonville connection as well. And I don't know if he still does, but he lived in the area. Fairly recently,
mm-hmm.
He was living in the area. So if you're out there, Marcus, give us a holler.
What up?
Love to hear from you. What up is right. Enjoyed watching him back in the day. Injury's a big part of his story, why he could never fulfill his potential. But today, instead of just saying, name one person who couldn't get there, and instead of going full-blown Friday top five on it, and we're just ranking, making lists, give us three names of guys. And we've gotten such a wide variety already. This is turning out better than I had thought. Because
mm-hmm.
I would have figured there would have been a lot of similarities with some big-name guys that for whatever reason got hurt, maybe fell into drugs, off-the-field issues, didn't fulfill their potential.
Certainly Aaron Hernandez is a guy who's on
absolutely.
That kind of list right now.
You can argue even, did Aaron Hernandez make it big? Did he not make it big? Because he was a Pro Bowl player. And then certainly didn't fulfill his entire football potential because
sure.
he decided to become apparently a serial killer or a multiple murderer. I don't know what
just the gangsta.
What the phrase is yeah. these days. But we're asking you today to name three football players, specifically football, who you swore would make it big in the NFL but never did for whatever reasons. And the kind of responses we've gotten already are across the board really striking and different. So that should be fun if you want to weigh in on that today. You're welcome to call the program at 641-1010. Got the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line up and running. Same number, 904-641-1010. You can share your thoughts there. You can tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony as well. And we'll touch on a variety of those things that we talked about today. I like the Ryan Davis article. We'll get into that a little bit more as we go along today. And OTA starting up for the Jags.
Yes, they are.
We'll have to ask people what they would like to see next week. They're not going to see anything. They're not going to hear much about it either, as far as that goes.
They're going to be, they practiced.
Right. First 30 minutes or so of practice is all you can report on. And all that is stretching, basically.
Sure. And whatever Gus Bradley talks about after practice.
Exactly. Whatever Gus directly addresses. So I guess the question becomes,
what do you make him directly address?
Right. And, you're not supposed to say, hey, Gus, how about that? You ran that series of third and sevens
right.
in the red zone and found it interesting that you went two tight end set every single time. you're probably not supposed to ask a question like that, so you're not going to get some of those specifics. But nonetheless, the plan is next week, 9:35 to 11:35 for practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And the plan is as soon as practice wraps up, the Jags PR staff is going to bring us a different player every day, hopefully Gus Bradley, maybe even on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being, going forward for the next few weeks as well, as we've already seen with the rookie minicamp, not every practice lasts till the final session is scheduled to go. So
sure.
they may wrap up a little bit early on some of those days. So second hour of the show on OTA days, be a good chance to listen in to catch some of the rookies and veterans of this Jaguar crew. And really looking forward to catching up with Blake Bortles now as it's official time to get back on the field with his teammates and, take that next step and march towards bigger and better things here in 2015 and see if we can get the Jags, squarely at least in contention later in the season than we've seen it. It's been the midway point for the last couple of years, and all hope has been abandoned at that point in time. So a lot of things to do today. Again, the question of the day, asking you simply, give us three players who you swore would make it big in the National Football League but never did for whatever variety of reasons, and share those thoughts at 641-1010. We'll get into Doug Farrar's story on SI.com about Ryan Davis emerging as one of the more dangerous pass rushers across the board in the National Football League, at least on a per-play basis, and take your calls as well coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday with Rakeith, the Conductor Waters, back at World Headquarters at 9090 Hogan Road. This is Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we got Joey Cupcakes in the house, Tony. Dirty Joe Fortunato.
Yeah.
Can't figure out why he's here. What's he got to do today?
I know.
There's like no one in the building.
I know he's going to Judge Barbecue because we found out he's an official barbecue
He's
judge.
Registered. What about this? What about this whole scam they've got going, right? Fortunato goes, hey, I'm going to go judge some barbecue contest down in Oviedo this weekend, home of Blake Bortles. I'm thinking there must be a Blake connection. Maybe Blake's the master of ceremonies
sure.
or something to this event. And Fortunato got invited. What a nice bauble that would be. And what a nice jewel in his crown, his ever-growing crown of accomplishments. But no, he said he just gets the call because he's on the list.
That's right. He's an official judge.
He's an official judge, Tony. He took a four-hour course.
He's paid his $35.
Was that what it cost, yeah. $35?
He's paid his $35 for all he can judge barbecue.
Think about it, man. I mean, how much barbecue could you eat at one of these contests? Clearly, you could eat $35 worth of barbecue. I could. I know I could eat $35 worth of barbecue. Huh? Not every time, not necessarily.
No, it's $35 bucks for the year.
$35 for the year, but I'm saying at one contest, you make it back, right? Just judging just on the food consumption alone.
You could, yeah.
That seems reasonable to me. And so I told Joe, I judge one of these. I got invited to, read, roped into judging a barbecue contest at like the St. Augustine Barbecue Fest. I don't know what they call the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. It was fantastic. They had all the restaurants from St. Augustine.
But you, sir, were an imposter.
I guess those results are now invalid, Tony.
Was there some like
scandal?
Real judge like looking down their nose at you?
Where's your certificate, son? do you get a card? What do you think? You get a laminated card? Do you get a special jacket or a bib? Maybe a bib.
Maybe it's a bib.
Maybe a bib.
Maybe you have to walk around with the magazine they send out. You just have to always have it. Like
just
only.
Open it up to your page with your name in there. See right there. Here's my ID. Joey Cupcakes Fortunato. Going to judge some barbecue.
While we're on topics that aren't sports related, just for the moment.
How's that not sports related?
The gate was open today.
Was it broken?
No,
from yesterday.
But I did notice the gate was open today, so Ryan O'Halloran got some things done. Apparently,
I guess so, man. His love for SMG is never ending. If you missed yesterday's show, and why would you? But if you did, O'Halloran crashed into the chained up gate that indicated the parking lot was not a thoroughfare.
That's right.
And O'Halloran's excuse was
his windshield.
His excuse was people always follow you too close. What would that be? Gator Bowl Boulevard? As you come around the corner, I don't know.
Whatever, Bay Street, I think.
I'm right. It's all Bay Street to me, right? So he said people follow you too closely, so you have to dart into the parking lot like at the last minute. I don't know. Have a tap the brakes. Hey, back off, buddy. I'm going to make a nice, you know, regular turn, but he crashed his car.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I laughed while I was pulling through the open gate
man.
This morning. I was like,
that is fantastic.
I even slowed down so I could see if I could see some, like, paint on the gate, like, just in case. I didn't see any of that this morning, though, but Ryan got
we
it done.
We could frame him, though. We could scrape some of that paint.
That's
it would
right.
be a scientific match to O'Halloran's car, so we could get some paint scrapings and do some dastardly deed.
It was so ridiculous. Like, I couldn't even tell that he was upset about it when he walked in. I honestly didn't
it's
know.
O'Halloran.
Right.
He's always
it was
upset.
It was the same mood he's always in, and then Caldwell walked by, and then you could see it. Like, the anger came out of Ryan O'Halloran a little bit. I was like, you mean you destroyed your front end of your car this morning, and you felt like the exact same guy? Like, I would have just called you and said, I'm not doing the show, Mike. Like, I would have been like, I'm out of here.
Wouldn't have called you because my phone would be broken in about 50 pieces because I would have smashed everything worth smashing in the car.
I'm in the parking lot. I'm not doing the show.
It is like the scene, though, right, where Bruce Banner turns back to Black Widow and he goes, you want to know my secret?
Mm.
I'm always angry. Okay, that's right. O'Howard's. How would you know? Is he going to Hulk out? You know, he's always that way. So what a delight that was yesterday. All right, 641-1010. If you'd like to get in today, we'll take your calls on a variety of Jaguar and NFL-related subject matter. And the question of the day, of course, is give us three players you swore would make it big in the NFL, but never did, for whatever combination of reasons. And let's go to the phones and welcome in Will this morning, leading us off on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Will. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great, man. What you got?
So I got to say, the Boz, obviously, number one. And then you got Marcus Luttrell and my favorite maniac, Ryan Leaf.
Who was the second one you said?
Marcus Luttrell.
Who's Marcus Luttrell?
He went and played the with the New Orleans Breakers. He went to Oklahoma for a year.
You're thinking Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Dupree, my bad.
Yes.
My bad.
That's all right.
Marcus
That's
Dupree.
All right.
Yeah, Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Dupree is one of the poster children for this whole question.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Thank you, Will. Appreciate the call. Ryan Leaf, Tony.
Don't talk to me, all right?
Yes. I mean, that's got to be the what he's best known for.
Absolutely.
While he was actually in the league.
Yep.
And now it's that puffy-faced mugshot.
That's right, breaking into houses.
Unbelievable. I mean, just what? He was the golf coach, right? At some Texas college?
Yep.
Wasn't he for a while? And he was was he dispensing prescription painkillers as well as just consuming them? I can't remember all the details.
I know he was breaking into homes.
I hope he's doing better, man. I mean, you know what? Don't break into people's houses. He had issues. Don't break into people's houses. That's bad. I don't care if you want to abuse yourself with prescription anything. That's your choice. Don't take it out on other people. You know, don't drive like that. And hopefully you don't have kids that you're ruining their lives along the way too. But adults make plenty of bad decisions. And, you know, I don't know if I ever felt Ryan Leaf was going to be great or not, but, boy.
The shadow of Peyton Manning was too much for him.
It was a pretty long one, wasn't
yeah.
it, man? I mean, you go down as some of the you know, would have gone down as probably the dumbest draft pick of all time.
Can you imagine?
Had Leaf gone with Manning going one pick later. Of course, you could argue that any pick for the first five rounds back in 98 when Brady came out, whatever
sure.
year.
That's a little bit different,
It
though.
Is a little bit different.
I mean, you look at what Brady did in college, and then you go back and watch the tape of him at the combine, and you can understand why teams would pass on a guy like that for five rounds. Like, you just look at him, you're like, nope. There's nothing here, and it just happened to be he was one of the special ones. It happens every now and then.
Lauren Brooks texting us, my second favorite Helmets and Heels host, by the way. She said, Joey Cupcakes Fortunato, I wonder if Mike has had cupcake chicken. Hashtag welcome to the barbecue judging club. Cupcake chicken, Fortunato. Is that a thumbs up on cupcake chicken?
No, wait.
Lauren Brooks has one of these certificates,
she's
too?
An official judge.
Oh, okay. Well, is she in training? Is she a trainee? Is that what this? Oh my goodness! This is just a scam to eat more barbecue, and I'm really not hating on it. It's a good idea. If people were going to invite me to here's all this the best barbecue the city has to offer, from all the best restaurants. As much as you like, try it, sample what you like. You tell us what you think. That's a pretty good gig. As far as that goes, if they validate parking, it puts it over the top. Let's go to James up next here, 641-1010, the number. Good morning, James. How are you?
Hey, I'm blessed. How y'all doing today?
Great, man. What's going on?
Hey, I want to comment on three players. Now, let me get this clarify for me. Is this player that made it into the NFL and then just didn't make it as you thought they were or never made it?
You tell us. I'm not saying that they could never have played in the NFL. But,
okay.
For instance, Marcus Dupree played a brief moment in time in the National Football League, but if you go back to his freshman year at Oklahoma, people thought he might be the greatest running back to ever play the game of football, so.
Well, okay, well, I'm stuck. I got a 3 and then a 3A. So I'll just go with, of course, Jamarcus Russell, was that's obvious, and Vince Young, which, you know, that should have, you know, I thought he was a great college player, didn't do anything in NFL. And then the two for me is Maurice Clarett and then Charles White. I don't remember if y'all remember Charles White.
Oh, yeah, Charles White at USC.
Marcus was his fullback in college. So
that's right. Yeah, Charles White. Did Charles White win the Heisman before Marcus Allen there at USC? I think you did, right? In the early 80s, late 70s, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, Matt, thank you. What about Vince Young, Tony? We touched on him earlier this week. 31-19 as a starting quarterback.
Yep.
It's tough to get around. That's a damn good winning percentage. He was Rookie of the Year his first year. Whether it was deserved or not, you know, you could argue that he was certainly in the conversation. And won 62% of his games as a starter in the NFL. Now, clearly he wasn't great, and if you felt like, here's a guy, when you watched him win that national championship, he was just an impressive athlete. How are they going to be able to stop this dual threat? Well, there wasn't enough dual in terms of the passing threat to go with the running skills to make him consistently successful from the pocket. But I would agree that he didn't make it big. If you thought he was going to be, you know, one of the all-timers, he certainly didn't live up to that. But, boy, Vince Young just gets thrown out with the trash, considering he won 31 out of 50 starts.
And I think there's a reason for it. I think that the relationship between he and Jeff Fisher got so poisonous that Jeff Fisher was basically making sure that he didn't make it. I think that there is something to the idea that Jeff Fisher, for whatever reason, was butting heads with Vince Young so much by the time that he was getting out of Tennessee that Vince Young couldn't find work anywhere, because anyone who would talk to his former head coach and Jeff Fisher would tell him not great things about Vince Young, despite the fact that this is a guy who won. He went to two Pro Bowls, I think, as a Tennessee Titans quarterback. He, like you said, 31-19 as a starter. I think the last year that they gave him 10 starts in Tennessee, he went something like 8-2 for that Tennessee team. I mean, he was good when he was on the field. They won football games.
He was effective.
Right.
He was effective.
They won football games with Vince Young playing quarterback, and I think the relationship between he and Jeff Fisher soured so much that Jeff Fisher, I'm not saying that he went out of his way to poison the well on Vince Young, but I think anyone that would ask him about Vince Young, he would not tell a good story.
And that may be the case, but you know how there are so many mercenaries in sports, and if you get the guy in, and he did have opportunities to get into camps with other teams, that who cares what Jeff Fisher said? If my eyes tell me this guy can help us win football games, but he had the story. Remember, it was, is he suicidal?
That was after he won the Rookie of the Year. And at that press conference for the Rookie of the Year, he said, I was seriously contemplating retiring. And it wasn't like a joke. It was like, that was just who the kind of guy he was. That was what he was talking about. And then the next year, that second year during a Monday Night Football game, they couldn't find him. Like, the team couldn't find him. They couldn't locate him. And everyone was really worried. It turns out they say he was just at a friend's house
and
watching the game.
And he left his cell phone in the car at home or something.
Who knows what actually happened with that story.
But the police were called.
Right. Vince Young was he's a different kind of guy.
I'll tell you this. Tom McManus and I had him on once. He was probably promoting something when he was up for Rookie of the Year. I don't know if he had won it or he was under consideration at the time. And back on the old Rumble show, classic in Jacksonville annals of sports talk history.
Right.
We had Vince Young on the program, and Tony, I don't know what impression I had of him going into that. This guy couldn't have been more professional, more like, wow, yes sir, no sir. I mean, just right down the line, like, wow, they got a guy who they're going to be happy to have as the face of the franchise, right? And then all of a sudden, shirtless tequila party pictures came out, and it didn't quite turn out that way. But certainly, you go back and, you know, a lot of guys who thought Vince Young wasn't going to make it big, but certainly an interesting name, and I just can't get around that. It's so easy because it's 50 games, 31-19. So easy to remember that stat with him. I wonder how many other quarterbacks who have had 50 starts have a winning percentage that high. That's something we'll have to see if we can endeavor to dig up. Let's get Patrick up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Hey, guys. I, as a Redskins fan, I'm going to come up with three that are pretty easy for me. But I caught the tail end, so tell me if I'm on the right track. But he's Shuler, Michael Westbrook, and RG3, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're on the right track. And who knows, the book is not completely written on RG3. And if he were to resurrect it, you know, maybe you take him off that list. Go ahead.
That's the problem. This year, I think it's well known that him and the coach don't get along. I think this is going to seal his fate this year, and I think this is going to really end all the talk of whether he was a failure or not.
That may be the case, you know, but I think you're right about this point, Patrick, in that it seems like he's just not Jay Gruden's guy. Jay Gruden has basically said he's a starter, right? This is, you know, they picked up the fifth-year option, which is only guaranteed due to injury anyway. So if he doesn't get hurt, they could still get out of a lot of that money. But
right.
I think Jake Gruden has to give him the opportunity, right? Because otherwise, you're the guy that ruined, in part, you're the guy that ruined this guy who came into the league. Mike Shanahan figured out a way to use him. Granted, he got hurt, but he was highly successful in the times he was healthy. Why don't we just at least use him that way and hope that he stayed healthy? You know, I mean, so I think Jake Gruden's got every incentive, other than just simply winning football games, to give him every opportunity to succeed. Whether he does that, I think, could be another story. Michael Westbrook was a, was it him? Did Michael Westbrook beat down Stephen Davis?
I think it was.
Was that the way, when Michael Westbrook was like, he was Karate Man, right? Karate Man,
yeah,
Bruce
on
the inside.
He went on and did the UFC and MMA stuff after he...
He did, yeah. Right? I mean, he was, like, seriously into it, unlike that fantastic Derek Harvey video, which I know you've watched at least once this morning, right?
Him waving those sides around, so great.
You know, and you listen to Patrick, Tony, when he says, I got three guys and they all come off the Redskins, basically. You'd do a Jaguar top 10 list of this, couldn't you?
Yeah. No, I mean, you really could. And, look, Robert Griffin's a great example of this because... It really is a boom or bust year for a guy like Robert Griffin III. Like, this could be it. He has the opportunity to potentially be the starter in Washington again this year. After that, it could be done. But you go back to that first year, his rookie year, I'm telling you, after that game against Dallas on Thanksgiving, he was the talk of the league.
Tony, Michael Wilbon on PTI declared him, and it was his opinion, but to hear someone put this moniker on him, the best player in the NFL.
Right, and that was right around Thanksgiving of that year.
Three quarters of the way through the season.
If he hadn't been sent back into that playoff game, right? Like, if he hadn't been sent back into that playoff game and that ACL gotten torn in that game against Seattle, what would we have seen from Robert Griffin? Like, that's the question you can ask with a guy like that if it doesn't work out in 2015 for him going forward.
All right, let's get Michael in here before the break. Michael, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Michael, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
You got it.
I wanted to submit a couple of names for his office. I always thought that Tavian Banks could have been something really, really special had he not been blown out with that knee injury. I think it was ACL, MCL, PCL, LCL, like at the end of that that game in, like, was it 98?
Sure.
I don't know. That's actually really the main thing I wanted to get your thoughts on. I really think that, you know, if that hadn't happened, it would have been, he could have been something special. He had, like, what, 4.2 speed? But what were you guys' thoughts on that?
I tell you what, we are up against a break. Let's do this. We'll return because we've had his name submitted quite frequently already this morning.
Yeah.
Tavian Banks for, you know, and that's the shame of it. Tavian Banks, through no fault of his own, didn't fulfill that potential because of the injury. Unlike a guy like Derek Harvey, who just flat out couldn't play, right? And wasn't injured to speak of. But you could make a list of 10 Jags, I think, easily to populate this list if you chose to. We'll talk about Tavian Banks when we return. Take more of your calls as well at 641-1010. That's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you at Everbank Field. Jaguars Today rolling on this Friday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac since 1905, the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They've got the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. And by the way, Claude Nolan Cadillac, the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida, selling and servicing the ELR, the elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac just one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard here in Jacksonville. Call 642-5111. That's 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here of Jaguars Today. Among the things we're discussing today, give us three players you swore would make it big in the National Football League, but for whatever variety of reasons didn't. I suggested you could do an easy top 10 list of Jaguar players alone. I was bid up to 20 on Twitter. So my response is drop and give me 20. Give me 20. Cause I don't doubt you could do it. Mm-hmm. I think you could probably do a 20. They're not all going to have the same degree of impact, but I mean, just look at the first rounders. You know, if you, look at first round disappointments. Maybe you didn't think they were going to be all superstars, but guys who fell far short of expectations just in the first round alone. The Jags are littered with that. I saw this. I was doing a little research this morning, Tony. It's, I know, rare, but
what?
On occasion, Ernie Davis. Remember the name Ernie Davis?
Yeah.
Okay, played for Syracuse. Basically broke all of Jim Brown's records at Syracuse and led them to a national championship in 1959. He's the first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy. And like I said, total rushing yards, all-purpose yards, touchdowns, all those records belong to Jim Brown. Ernie Davis broke them all. He gets drafted, gets drafted by the Redskins, who trade his rights to Cleveland, where Jim Brown is already part of the team. They're going to have the Brown and Davis backfield.
Right, that's kind of cool.
Yes, and then he was diagnosed with leukemia and never played a single down in the National Football League. I mean, that may be one of the all-timers when you look at that. There are some guys. Gale Sayers is in the Hall of Fame. You can still look at his career and say what might have been.
Yeah.
The guy played 6 years. Terrell Davis will probably never make the Hall of Fame, but Terrell Davis, he scored 56 touchdowns his first 4 years in the league.
Yep.
He was a 2,000-yard rusher very early on. You look at the 1997 playoffs, I want to say he ran for like 560 yards in four games with 8 touchdowns in 4 games in the march to the Broncos' first Super Bowl championship, and backed it up the following year with another performance in the postseason where he averaged over 100 yards per game. So, and then, you know, obviously knee injury and never the same guy. And,
yeah.
I mean,
I'm looking at his postseason numbers right now. His teams went 7-1. He played 8 postseason games, rushed for 1,140 yards in 8 games.
In the postseason. What's supposed to be the best competition of that given year.
5.5 yards a clip, 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, hard to say a guy who won league MVP didn't make it big in the league, but still didn't make it as big as he might have made it. So you could certainly go that route if you wanted to. As far as Tavian Banks goes, caller brought him up before the break, ACL, PCL, LCL, basically shredded the knee. Tavian Banks was an explosive, dynamic playmaker who was never going to be the lead guy here in Jacksonville. He's drafted the same year as Fred Taylor was, but as a complimentary piece.
Sure.
I mean, you look what Fred and Maurice were able to do. I'm not saying Tavian was the exact same guy as Maurice Jones-Drew. A little bit of a different skill set. Probably quicker, faster, a little bit maybe not as powerful as Maurice, who did have some long speed, but, you know, just one of those guys that, you know, it's easy to forget him, you know, because you didn't really get much of anything out of him. He tried to make a comeback with the New Orleans Saints. Made it to the practice squad, I think.
Sure.
And, you know,
wrong time.
Same.
Wrong time. Like, if he has that same kind of injury 10 years later, where the science has advanced so much, the medical side of things has advanced so much, I think he has a real chance, right? At that time, that kind of thing, you're done.
You were done then, but even now, I wonder if you look at, like, Marcus Lattimore, you know.
Yeah.
Not all knee.
Peterson was kind of the same thing, though, right?
I don't think Peterson was as extensive.
I mean, McGahee was definitely that, and that was 6 years later.
McGahee, they called it spaghetti
knee.
Yeah. Yeah. But McGahee, I mean, McGahee had a good, long, solid
really good.
Career. Very good player, right. So it's certainly more overcomable, if that's a proper phrasing. But still, you see a guy like Lattimore who shredded it a couple times and really did it badly.
No, he did.
You know, that San Fran tried to give him a shot, and it just wasn't going to work for him. So sometimes that's his fate, man. I don't know if it's fate or just bad luck or whatever the case may be. Let's go back to the line, 641-1010. Shadrick's lurking. See that? J.P. Shadrick's around. I'm curious. I haven't seen J.P. much. Have you seen much of J.P. in the last couple weeks?
No.
Has he been hiding? What has he been doing?
I don't know what he does.
I'm not sure what he does either.
I know Jaguars Thursday.
He looks like he's headed to the golf course, though.
Does he
not look like he's headed to the golf course?
Hat is a different color than the shirt.
He gave us a shake-off on that one. I'm sure he wants the bosses to know he's working very hard this morning and preparing for another season as the outstanding pre- and post-game host of the Jaguar Radio Network, among other duties. And so there you have it. Don't know why Fortunato's here. Don't know why JP's here. Maybe they're working on a project.
And they're hovering more than they ever do.
They are.
Around
the they're
show.
Enjoying the program
I think
today.
It's because they know they really don't need to be here.
I certainly hope so. Let's go to Mike up next. 641-1010. Mike, good morning. How are you? Mike, you there? We got a bad phone connection there, Mike. We'll try you back in a second. Let's go to Trey up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Trey.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Okay, my three. The first guy that came to mind when you guys were talking about this, remember Rashawn Salaam out of Colorado?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Running back. He got drafted, I think, by the Bears and really didn't do anything. And I thought the guy was going to be.
Yeah, that was not because of injury. He just was. It turned out to not be very good, right?
He couldn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also had. The name escapes me now. Ron Dane.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
was he the all-time leading college rusher when he came out of Wisconsin?
He was until Ricky broke the record. But yeah, right. I just thought that guy was going to come in and do good things. And also, I'm not sure if you guys touched on it, but Curtis Enos as well.
Yeah, Curtis Enos got hurt pretty early on. I want to say he had a knee injury. And wasn't that the conversation and the debate was between Curtis Enos and Fred Taylor, right? Who was the back to have that year?
Yeah.
I think the Jags, through planning or good fortune,
they did pretty well.
They came out okay on that one.
With all the bad fortune,
Trey, thank you, man.
We talk about for this organization, they came out on top on that particular one. Yeah, I won't lie. I have a Ron Dane jersey in the closet at home. Like, as a Giants fan, I was like, yeah, we got Ron Dane.
Right on.
And pair him up with Tiki Barber, that thunder and lightning combination that we all thought was coming up there in New York, and thunder never came through. I can tell it never came through for the
Giants. I'll give you a nerdy fantasy football flashback, okay? This is as nerdy as it gets here, Tony. League that's still going on at 15 years old now, Dynasty League, right? The inaugural draft, the commissioner decided there were 16 teams. Whoever had the last pick in the first round, they do reverse order for the rookie draft. We're doing a separate draft, which you shouldn't do when you're starting up, but that's the way we're doing it. So I happen to get the 16th pick, and I was like, woohoo, that means I get the first rookie pick, which is so much more valuable than having the first pick in the regular draft because the fall off is so much greater. And I remember a guy quit the league over this because he said, well, it's quite evident he's going to draft Ron Dane, and we all know who he's going to take in the deal. I want to say Jamal Lewis was the guy to own that year.
He was definitely better than Ron Dane.
I remember what I actually did was I traded out of the top spot and picked up Jimmy Smith for my efforts in that one. Yes,
nice.
That Jimmy Smith. So I think I did okay in my wheeling and dealing. I told you I was going way inside nerddom.
3.8 yards an attempt in his career, Ron Dane.
Ron Dane,
3.8?
3.8. That's because he had a lot, all those goal line carries, man. That really knocked his average down,
I'm
sure.
He scored 28 touchdowns in 7 years.
What's his long touchdown, Ron
Dane? His long...
13 yards.
His long run is 61.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, in 2001 with the Giants.
61 for the fat boy. Did he take it to the house, or did he run out of gas?
I hope so.
That one?
61 yards. I hope he got a touchdown out of that.
Speaking of,
because he was probably out for a quarter after it.
Yes. Speaking of geekdom, Pro Football Focus ranking their top 101 players based on how they played in 2014 in the National Football League.
Yep.
I want to touch on that. Former Jaguar, I thought had a fairly prominent place on the list, and I think it would surprise you who that was.
So. Saber haters, cover your ears.
Oh, the Sabermetrics people, if you don't like it. You're really not going to like it coming up, but Tony Khan is listening, and so we will endeavor to give you a little inside look at the numbers with Pro Football Focus coming up as well. We've got this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL straight ahead. More of your calls welcome at 641-1010, and keep them coming. I'll read some of those texts that have been coming in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Friends Company of Jacksonville. Before we get to that, I want to remind you, as Balls Davis just said, coming up at the top of the hour, the AM signal is going to switch over to UNF baseball as they continue to seek purchase in the postseason.
Yep.
To perhaps get a World Series berth. Eventually, but so prepare for that. Prepare yourselves, people. All right, use one of the many apps out there for listening, or just switch it over to 92.5 on the FM side if you want to keep it on Jaguars Today. Now, this date in football history. I'll start with the birthdays. It all got started, this idea, for guys who you swore were going to make it big but never did for whatever variety of reasons, with Marcus Dupree, born on this date in 1964, 51 years young today. Interestingly enough, we had Pete Banaszak on yesterday. Joey Cupcakes Fortunato told us one of the most memorable times he remembers with Banaszak was when he was going off on kickers, which he usually did, and he was going off on Mike Hollis missing a key field goal, and Hollis called into the postgame show. Well, happy birthday, Mike Hollis, today. Who knew? They share an astrological sign. I have no idea. What astrological sign is it at this time of year?
Don't ask me.
Pisces. I have no idea. I'm just total guess right there, Tony. I know Sagittarius because that's what I am, and that's about all I know. And my son is a Cancer. Mike Hollis, 43 years young today. Julian Edelman, born on this date in 1986, as Tony put it a minute ago to me on the break. Does he remember which team the Patriots played in the Super Bowl?
Has he figured it out yet?
Don't know. And happy birthday to the guy who's having the best week ever. He had the best day ever the other day. Sergio Brown, Entourage fan and new Jacksonville Jaguars safety, turns 27 years old today. 1975 on this date, May 22nd, Joe Namath turned down $4 million to go play for Chicago in the World Football League. I find that interesting because I heard Dan and Jeff talking about how much money Brooks Robinson made in his entire career today. Less than $1 million.
Yeah.
His entire career that ended in the mid-70s. So that's money that Namath probably could have used. And on this date, Tony, in 1991, huge date, and no kidding, in Jaguar history, the NFL owners agreed to add two teams, originally scheduled to add the teams in 1994. There were 12 cities under consideration at the time, including Jacksonville, Florida, which we know ultimately got one of those two franchises, Charlotte getting the other one. Mm-hmm. You also had St. Louis and Baltimore with strong candidacies, San Antonio, Oakland, Sacramento, Memphis, Toronto, Montreal, and you could have punched me in the face, I wouldn't remember these two, Portland and Salem, Oregon. Bidding Oregon bids, or dueling Oregon bids, for an NFL franchise, and ultimately the Jags and the Panthers were added in 1995. That is this date in football history, brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. They're fabricating and installing the highest quality fencing products for you at a competitive price and giving you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Marcell Dareus has been suspended for one game to start the season for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Dareus was arrested after a traffic stop in May of 2014. Yep, that's a year ago, and charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Now, Denver Broncos defensive end Antonio Smith is under investigation in Texas, centered around child abuse allegations that the local sheriff described yesterday as, quote, sexual in nature. According to Pro Football Talk, if Smith is eventually charged, he would most likely be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, much like Adrian Peterson and Greg Hardy were last season, until the case is resolved. The Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer said in a radio interview that he has an indication of when Adrian Peterson will report back to the team, but would not share what that information is. And Michael Sam, the first openly gay player in the National Football League, has been signed by the CFL's Montreal Alouettes today to continue his professional career.
Jante Alouette.
Yeah, that Antonio Smith story.
That's awful.
It could be real
horrendous,
nasty. Yeah.
And let's hope it's not. But the world can be an ugly place, and it often crosses over with the sports world, unfortunately. We looked at that list the other day, the Forbes list, whoever it was. Maybe ESPN put out the list. They basically just calculated what the average player on each professional team makes.
Yeah.
Right? And the striking difference was, you know, all the NFL teams are kind of bunched together. We know that because the salary cap, right? You got 53 guys. If you're anywhere near the top of the salary cap, the average is going to work out to be about the same. Now, signing bonuses can impact that in any given year and all that stuff. But
right,
they were the low end. Teams were paying out $2 million on average to each NFL player, whereas the Canadian Football League, Tony, was also included in the survey. It was a worldwide kind of global look at what guys make. And the average for those teams was more in the $90,000 to $110,000 range. So,
right,
hey, look, that's not bad money.
It's fine money.
You can get endorsements to go with that. You don't work you know, 12 months out of the year. So there's a lot, you know, a lot worse things you can be doing. But it is, if you wonder why it's such a step down from the National Football League, just look at the pay scale. That's the primary reason, you know, quality of football and all that aside. A couple of other things here. I mentioned Pro Football Focus put out a list of the 101 best players, kind of a countdown that they did recently, much like the NFL Network, but they do it on their own, based on their own grading scale as far as how that goes.
Right.
And so they rank the top players in the National Football League. I'll spare you the suspense. No Jaguars made the top 101, okay?
Dang it.
I got to looking at this because Ryan Davis got such a nice write-up from Doug Farrar of Sports Illustrated when he was talking about the statistic that they use, which is pass rushing productivity, which basically measures pressure created by a pass rusher on a per-snap basis with an extra weighting towards sacks. So, you know, you get more credit if you actually get home and finish a deal.
Right.
As Bill Polian said in the lead-up to the draft, don't tell me about setting the edge. If I'm drafting you as a defensive end in the first round, get the quarterback and get him on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Davis fared very well in this, and his numbers were it's not going to mean a whole lot to you because it's a, you know, it's a esoteric kind of new statistic. But as here's what Farrar wrote about Ryan Davis. He said he's the least known player on this list outside of the greater Jacksonville area, but his ascent is representative of the ways in which the Jaguars have been assembling talent under the radar. An undrafted free agent out of Bethune-Cookman first saw NFL snaps in 2012. Ryan Davis ramped up his performance pretty seriously in his third NFL season. He's never started a game, but amassed 6.5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 13 quarterback hurries, and just 310 snaps in 2014. Moreover, as indicated by his inside, because they rank him on inside rushes, which they define as inside the guards. So between, you know, the guard center guard area or outside rushes, anywhere from that guard tackle gap to outside the tackle, mm-hmm. obviously, he was a top 10 player in both categories based on a per snap basis. That's what this measures. He's not going to have the most total pressures, obviously, but as Farrar went on to say, Davis can blow up a quarterback's intentions from different places on the line. And certainly a guy that makes you feel like you're not going to feel good about Dante Fowler Jr. blowing out his knee, but you are going to feel at least when you look at Ryan Davis, hey, if he can build on what he did last year, this guy might be a double-digit sack. I imagine if he actually got starters reps, because even though these guys rotate a lot, if you're starting, you figure to get more of that pie. It's not always going to be a 50-50 split or a 33-33-33 if you got three guys in there. So
sure.
Davis more of a, you know, a third down specialist.
They brought him in for that NASCAR package or whatever all the time last year. And when you look on Pro Football Focus and they you can go by position rankings, because he didn't play all that many snaps, I mean, he's got 212 snaps last year according to Pro Football Focus. And when you look at the leaders at the position, like Aaron Donald at defensive tackle had 724. Derek Martz had 739, right? Like, those are guys that are obviously starters for their football teams on the field all the time. But if you take the number of snaps out of the equation, just grading the player from Pro Football Focus, they have Ryan Davis listed as a defensive tackle. He's their 11th highest rated defensive tackle in the league. Now, Derek Martz was 18, to give you an idea of how effective Ryan Davis was when he was on the field. Now, do they like him in that role? Do they want to see that role expanded? I don't know. We'll find out once we get into training camp this year, but Ryan Davis was certainly effective at what they were asking him to do in Jacksonville last season.
It was nice to Doug Farrar, I got to meet him this year at the Super Bowl out in Phoenix, and he's a guy, I respect his writing. He seems like a guy that looks beyond the obvious, and I think this is a case in point right here in identifying a guy like Ryan Davis. Doug Farrar is a guy who watches a lot of film. By the way, you can find the story at SI.com. I hope you've got some kind of supercomputer, though, man, because it's one of those deals where, like, they break down a bunch of different plays
right.
for each of the guys in the story, and as soon as you go to the page, all the little GIFs or GIFs or whatever you call them are all running automatically. You don't have to hit. So it's like your computer is going to hate that page if you want to go, but if you have the supercomputer, go and take that on. if you'd like. I told you no Jaguars in the top 101. I found this very interesting. And again, we'll go through the top 10 here in a minute and give you an idea whether or not you think this is an accurate reflection of guys really getting it done on the field. But
and keep in mind with this kind of list, the position they play doesn't factor. Like they,
at all.
They don't weigh position. This is just we're grading the player. This is the grade.
They're not going to have a bunch of quarterbacks necessarily in the top 20
because
just
of the
because
importance
quarterback.
Of that position.
Right. They're going to say this guy at his position graded out better than X graded out at his position, even though that position may be more important, more daunting, whatever. But number 77 overall on this list, cornerback from the Detroit Lions, Rasheen Mathis. Okay? And, Tony, we hearken back to when the Jags were a 500-ish team, or at least a better than 9 wins in 3 years type squad, and Rasheen just wasn't good enough anymore for Jacksonville, right? I mean, that was we got to get rid of this guy. He's terrible. He's toast. Here's what Pro Football Focus had to say this year. Just about this year's performance by Rasheen Mathis. There's a tendency, writes Pro Football Focus, a tendency to write aged players with an injury history off. However, Mathis is bucking the trend with his consistently top-level play in Detroit. He allowed just 555 yards into his coverage all year as he proved more than up to the test of what was thrown at him. He's not the player he once was, but he's adapted to end an impressive career near the top. Key stat, his 0.86 yards per snap in coverage was the 10th best against cornerbacks. Basically, when he was in coverage, he's given up less than a yard per snap on average. I don't think that means out of every ball that came his way.
No, that's just when he's on the field.
Right. When you're lining up and you're lined up covering a guy as a receiver, as a cornerback, you're giving up whatever. Everyone's measured by this stat. He was 10th best in the league.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, baseball has gone so sabermetric crazy, right? Like, you're seeing defenses shift on pitch-by-pitch basis, count-by-count, player-by-player. Like, everything changes all the time in baseball. And I think in football, we're trying to figure out still, I think the numbers matter. I think it's a matter of trying to figure out which ones really count right now. And I don't know that snaps per play for a corner is a stat that is all that important to me. Now, snaps per play where they're actually throwing the ball at you, perhaps.
Or yards per play.
Right.
Like, not snaps per play.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I think that's probably a little bit more effective as a measuring stick. Now, not all guys are equal. To me, that tells me that Rasheen was probably pretty good in coverage last year, and whoever the heck else they had in Detroit was bad. Like, they were throwing at everybody Rasheen in Detroit, so that number comes down a little bit for him. But, look, I always thought Rasheen kind of got a bad stick here. He was a pretty good player even at the end of his career here in Jacksonville, and there was nothing to help him in that secondary. It made him look bad that there were other guys who didn't know how to do their job.
Reggie Nelson, case in point. I mean, there were so many examples, talking to coaches at the time, like, of Rasheen just handing his man off to what's supposed to be help over the top, and the help is not there, and all of a sudden Rasheen's running and playing catch-up, and it looks like he got burned by 5 yards, you know, which is a huge amount in the National Football League. Didn't happen. That's not every time. I'm sure he did get burned sometimes. Every corner's going to get burned on occasion. We'll go through the top 10 when we come back. And look, you can choose to put faith in these stats or not. But like Tony said, they're part of the landscape now, and it's now figuring out which ones are accurate indicators of success, which ones we need to continue to pay attention to going forward. That's a little bit of the art that goes with the science of the numbers. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Also check in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. Question of the day asks you, name 3 football players you swore would make it big in the NFL but never did. We'll take a look at some of those responses coming up as well here on Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Happy Friday, brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Be safe, be smart this Memorial Day extended weekend.
Yeah.
Taking a bunch of 1010XL, 92.5 FM on the airwaves as you're out and about doing what it is that you do. Tony will be here with you next Tuesday. The plan is Osier stopping by. We're going to start taking a look at the AFC South next week. Going to have a correspondent for each of the 3 teams that the Jags are sworn enemies of. coming up on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And the plan being with practice being from 9:30 to 11:30, as soon as it wraps up, the intent is to get a player coming straight off the field, possibly Gus on Tuesday as well. Depends on how it all times out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. But and that'll be kind of the usual way of doing things when it comes to these OTAs over the next 3 weeks. You can hopefully count on having a player's reaction to how practice is going, and so we should have a lot of Jags sitting down live with us in studio over the course of the next 3 weeks. So listen in for that. I told you that Pro Football Focus had ranked the top 101 players in the National Football League.
Yes, you did.
Have you looked at the top 10 yet? Have you kind of gone through the
no.
rankings?
No.
Fortunately, you reminded me that I needed to address that after teasing it going into the break, because I was ready to go somewhere completely different because my attention span is woefully short. But here are your top 10 guys. This is just based on how they played in 2014. Not projecting ahead,
yep.
Not looking at the totality of their career. Okay. And again, as Tony pointed out, no one position is weighted more than the other. In other words, if you graded out great and you're a left guard, you can be comparable to Aaron Rodgers, potentially. Number 10 was Von Miller, pass rusher with the Denver Broncos. Played a full 16-game schedule, had 74 total pressures, second-best season of his career mm-hmm. in that regard, and also earned a very high grade in run defense, they said, for the fourth straight year. And the key stat, Miller graded positively as a pass rusher in all but two games this past season. Those were consecutive outings against San Diego and Cincinnati. So consistency played into that as well. So there you go, Von Miller, number 10. Then I don't think that shocks anybody.
No.
Number 9, Luke Kuechly. Shouldn't shock anybody, right?
No.
Certainly one of the – so far you look at Pro Football Focus, you say, okay, well, this
a
metric,
premier pass rusher and maybe the best middle linebacker in the league.
Identifying some pretty good players here, right? The key stat, 88 defensive stops, the most by a linebacker in the Pro Football Focus era since 2007. Now, keep in mind, that's an unofficial statistic. There, I'm guessing Pro Football Focus as their own measurement for tackles, right? Do you know if they do or not?
I feel like they probably do.
It's not an official NFL statistic. You're not going to find it anywhere. You'll find it in a box score. You'll find it in a game book, but it's not an official NFL stat. And it's kept, you know, to various degrees, well or poorly. Some scorekeepers overemphasize assists.
Sure.
Some underemphasize them. But Kuechly graded with the most tackles in the league by any linebacker since 2007. Marshawn Lynch came in at number 8.
Okay.
An excellent year, right? Key stat, Marshawn Lynch became the first back to finish a season with an elusive rating above 100. Again, these are their own kind of custom-made stats to measure, to put into, like, this guy seems to break a lot of tackles. This guy seems to make a lot of people miss. How can we quantify that? That's what Pro Football Focus sets out to do. So Lynch came in at number 8. Number 7. Who's the best wide receiver in the league last year?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown's the best wide receiver in the National Football League last year, right? Not the first name that necessarily leaps to mind as who you'd pick on your team because he doesn't fit that profile of the 6'3", 6'4", monster like A.J. Green or one of these guys. But Brown, they said, has received a positive receiving grade in 30 of his last 33 games. Keep in mind, this is graded simply on last year. We know that they're all about keeping a streak of 5 catches and 50 yards
yes,
going.
Yes, they are all about it.
Big fans of that. In fact, they'll do that in a one-score ball game.
They'll just dump it out of the backfield.
Just dump
no
it
reason.
Right. We're going to line him up in the backfield and throw it to him 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. But Antonio Brown had a monster campaign last year, came in number 7. Here's a guy who got a lot of praise throughout the course of the season, not a position that necessarily is a glamour one. Vontae Davis of the Indianapolis Colts. Tony, was he a street free agent when they signed? I mean, he was just...
I feel like he was.
I think
yeah.
he was, right? Just I say street free agent. He
was a free agent.
He was a free agent,
yeah.
Right. That's more of a term that you use. What's the difference between a street free agent and a regular? Where do we use that term? It seems like more like a rookie, like as opposed to like a restricted free agent, maybe?
I guess.
Something like that?
It almost feels like a term that you use when it's like everyone's been passing up on this guy.
Yes.
And
he's cleared waivers.
Right.
He's in the poorhouse. We picked him out of the gutter. He is a street free agent.
Yeah.
In his 6-year career, Davis has never finished a season with a coverage grade below 0. And you'd be surprised how many do. And his coverage grade this year of 27.6.
He
again,
was really good last year.
Pro Football Focus had a career high for Vontae Davis. Marshall Yanda of the Baltimore Ravens came in at number five. Okay, guard, but extremely well-regarded guard. No pun intended. Key stat, Yanda finished the season at right tackle and showed his quality, earning a positive grade in all three starts there as well. From week 2 to week 14, Yanda earned a positive run block grade every week, and his single game run block grades above 2.0, which is very high in this, 10 times in a 12-game span. So basically he's a beast. Right?
Sure.
He gets the job done.
He's probably not a top five player in the NFL,
The way he graded based on his season. Number four, another cornerback, Chris Harris.
Yeah, they had him high all year.
Of the Denver Broncos. After coming back off of a torn ACL, they said his season was scarcely believable. He had a positive grade in coverage in every game of the season. A season passer rating allowed below 50, no touchdowns allowed, and less than 400 yards conceded on more than 700 coverage snaps. In other words, he lined up across from somebody 700 times last year, and the sum totality of what he gave up was under 400 yards. Wow, that's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
That is pretty fantastic. So, and he came in fourth. And when you look at that, you say, oh, come on, Chris Harris, not the fourth best player. They're not saying that. They're saying he had the fourth best season based on this grading. Number three. Nobody's going to argue with these top three. Justin Houston, Kansas City, recorded multiple pressures in all but one game, recorded multiple knockdowns of quarterbacks in nine games. Of course, he had the 23 sacks last year as well, six games with multiple sacks, and only one game the entire season that he didn't have a pressure on a quarterback. So pretty consistent, spectacular on the high end, but it wasn't just a handful of big games that led up to that. Number two, Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Right? I mean, come on. If you're making a list.
I have a feeling with number one, you're going to upset Doom all over.
He's going to be upset. Okay. Rodgers led the league with a passer rating of 115.6 on passes released 2.6 seconds or longer after the snap. I don't know what the hell that means. I mean, I know what it literally, I know what the words mean.
Right.
But
why that specifically?
That smells awfully like when Blaine Gabbert gets X amount of time to throw, he's the ninth most efficient quarterback or some garbage.
Except it's Aaron Rodgers.
That they try to shove down our throats.
You don't need those metrics to measure Aaron Rodgers.
Just say Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers. Stamp.
Yep.
On to the next one. And number one, you can hate him all you like, but J.J. Watt is tops on the list for Pro Football Focus for the third year running.
To give you an idea, like I'm looking on the website right now. I didn't look at the top 10 list, but I had a feeling just looking at the defensive end rankings that J.J. Watt was probably going to be number one, right? J.J. Watt's overall grade for the year, he graded out at a 107.5. 107.5. To give you an idea, the next highest ranked 3-4 defensive end was Sheldon Richardson, 39.9. The highest rated 4-3 defensive end, again, over 100 for J.J. Watt, was Cameron Wake with a 32.2.
He's basically three times better than anybody.
Aaron Rodgers, your highest rated quarterback, had an overall grade of 40.4. J.J. Watt was a completely dominating monster last year.
Talk about some of the best 3-4 defensive ends in the league, Tony. Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, both of the Jets, right? Calais Campbell has become one of those guys, and Fletcher Cox, okay? All these guys combined, J.J. Watt had 65 combined hits and sacks, more than all four of those players combined. 65 times that he either sacked or hit the quarterback. And my reading of that indicates that they don't double dip on the stat.
I don't think they do.
You either get a hit or you get a sack.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, when you talk about tackles, right, tackles for loss. You say a guy had four sacks and five tackles for loss. Well, what that really means is he had one tackle for loss, because that's a double-dipping stat. Every sack, you get credited with a tackle for loss because you're tackling the quarterback for a loss. So in this, a hit and a sack are not graded as the same thing. So 65 times he either hit the quarterback or brought him to the ground, which is more than those other four, arguably the top other four, three, four defensive ends in the league. Combined. That's staggering what he's been doing in his career to this point in time.
He is, look, guys that played the game at the kind of level that J.J. Watt has for the last 2 years don't come around all that often.
If J.J. Watt got hurt, retired, became a priest, did something where he never played another football game,
there'd be an argument for him to be in the
better than Terrell Davis's argument.
Right.
I think. Right. I mean, I do. I think it's better than Terrell Davis's argument to be in the National Foot or the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think he'd get more support than a guy like TD did. And TD kind of makes it onto that semifinals list, doesn't make it into the finals.
Sure.
And he had really four big seasons.
Yeah. And Duval Dooman's already tweeted Pro Football Focus is overrated. Look, I get that not everybody buys into what Pro Football Focus is doing. I can tell you anybody out there who has access to the film of last year's Houston Texans game, tell me when you watch the Houston Texans defense that your eyes don't immediately go to J.J. Watt on virtually every snap because of something that he's doing on that play. He is a special player. I don't need Pro Football Focus to tell me that. I know he's the best defensive end in the game. I know he's the best defensive player in football right now.
They just try to quantify by what margin.
Right.
That's just all.
Every time you put on any kind of game tape of J.J. Watt, it's incredible.
That's right, because we got Gabbert. Oh, sorry.
It is what it is, man.
Moment of silence.
It is what it is.
Moment of silence for letting J.J. Watt slide by on the board. Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness. All right. Of course, they didn't have the pick until they traded up. But and how would we have crucified them had they traded up to get J.J. Watt? It would have been the offseason would have been, you could have had Kerrigan if you stayed right there. And you could maybe come back and got Kaepernick in round two. Are you kidding me?
And now we'd be laughing.
Oh, my goodness. It'd be hysterical.
It'd be like, whatever else we got J.J.
Right.
Everything else may be awful, but we got J.J.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Got to get to coming up the fan feedback spotlight, including all your texts coming in this morning, weighing in on that, tweets and Facebook posts as well, asking you to name three players that you swore would make it big in the NFL and never really did. Also, interesting sidebar on the Deflategate story. We'll touch on that coming up as well. On one reason, maybe the Patriots backed off in their seemingly fast tracking of an appeal of their penalties in the Deflategate situation. We'll get to that coming up. Claude Nolan Cadillac, get to them this weekend if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Cadillac, the only place to go here in Jacksonville. ClaudeNolan.com, the website, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch we come here on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Correction from the Twitterverse. Thank you, Twitterverse. Vontae Davis traded from the Dolphins to the Colts.
Mm.
So he wasn't a dirty, streety,
that's right,
bad person or useless, formerly superstar. He apparently liked the nightlife a little too much in Miami, according to some reports, some older reports now.
Then Indy's the place to go.
I would say so.
Shut you off from that.
It would. I mean, you know, for me, there's plenty of nightlife everywhere I go.
Right.
So I'm a little bit different. But anyway, former first-round pick. And they got him, I think, for a second, which turned out to be a pretty good investment, apparently. Certainly the people at Pro Football Focus loved what he did last year. Mentioned the UniWatch people did the power ranking, the best and worst uniforms in the National Football League. I'll skip the drama. They had the Jags as the worst uniform, not only in the NFL, but in the four major North American pro sports. Worst uniform. And they laid it all at the feet of that helmet, as was written, if I can find it here, on uniwatch.com, which is quite often cited on ESPN.com. I don't know if they have an official affiliation. I seem to think they do. But anyway, they say about the Jags, you know the superhero jersey isn't, you know, the superhero jersey isn't bad. Superhero jersey? Is that what the style is?
I guess.
All right. And the Jags color scheme has always been underrated. But there's no getting around it. This is the worst helmet in NFL history, and everything else in this uniform set is subordinate to that. Woof. That was, so said UniWatch. I can't really argue with the helmet. They also indicated on UniWatch that they thought the mid to late 90s Brunel era Jaguar uniforms, had they stayed with them, would have gone down as a modern classic. Loved them. And I think looking back, those uniforms hold up pretty well, personally. But everybody's always looking for the next thing, Tony. And in this case, the next thing gave you a helmet that seems to indicate they ran out of paint at some point, at least from my vantage point on that one.
Yeah.
Here's what we got going today, the Fan Feedback Spotlight, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. And we asked you today to weigh in with three football players you swore would make it big in the NFL and never did. This is in honor of Marcus Dupree's 51st birthday today. Former man-child with the Oklahoma Sooners, averaged 7.8 yards a carry his first year at Oklahoma and going over 1,000 yards. And never really even captured that degree of success again, but certainly not in the National Football League due to a variety of reasons, primarily injury. What kind of feedback did we get
there? Here's what we got from Ocho Fisho: Thad Busby, Heath Shuler, Derek Harvey. From Jason, David Green, Georgia quarterback Brian Anger is underachieved for a third-round pick, and Derek Harvey because of his karate skills.
What did you expect? Did you expect when they spent a third rounder on him, he'd have to be Shane Leckler?
He'd be Russell Wilson. Corey said Eric Berry, Reggie Bush, and Brady Quinn. From Brandon, Ron Dane, Ryan Leaf, and Ricky Williams. From Jason, we got Peter Warwick, Mike Sims, Walker, Bjorn Warner. Remember when Sims Walker was being compared to like T.O. Mini? It was like Mini T.O. coming to camp for the Jags.
Yes, I do.
Oh,
actually.
My goodness. From Demetrius, Tony Mandarich, Andre Bruce, and Rick Meyer, all these model after Hall of Fame players, only to fell. He mentioned Anthony Munoz, Lawrence Taylor, and Joe Montana comparing to those three guys. And from Black Dog Express, The Boz, Danny Warfel, and Heath Shuler. The Boz is the first one that comes to mind.
Would Meyer have ever gotten the Joe Montana if he hadn't gone to Notre Dame?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? Several on the text line mentioned either in singularly or as a group. Charlie Ward is one. You know what? You can argue that. You know, who knows what he would have been. I thought his game, his body style, arm strength, everything, that was more Montana-esque to me, that there was a special quality about his game. Doesn't mean he would have been any good in the National Football League. Would have loved to have seen how that worked out. I think for him, though, and made a boatload of money in the NBA and probably walks around a lot better than he would have otherwise. Let's see. This one in, Charles Rogers, Aaron Leaf, Aaron Curry. Remember when Aaron Curry was the safest player in the draft?
Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't that long ago.
No.
Safest player. Can't miss guy. Art Schleister and Maurice Claret. I will contend to you, Tony, no matter what Miami fans think about the pass interference call that they feel cost them a championship against Ohio State. And I always feel obligated to bring up the play where Chris Gamble was in a wide receiver and got absolutely mugged and destroyed, and there was no flag on that. And that would have extended an Ohio State drive, enabling them to run out the clock anyway, and it would have been a moot point. However, go back and watch that game. Maurice Claret was the best player on the field in that game. That was a loaded Miami team.
Yes, it was.
And you can argue about did they deserve to have that taken away or not in overtime the whole way it went down. But Claret was the best player, to my eyes, on the field that day and never made the transition, obviously. Cannot believe how many people mentioned Ricky Williams. Hey, here's another one. Bosworth, Ricky Williams, Heath Shuler. 10,000 yards doesn't go as far as it used to, apparently.
Apparently not. I mean, I get that when he walked away from the game basically so that he could go smoke weed, that he might have been among the best running backs in the game. Like, and he was still an ascending player and decided to walk away from the game. And, yeah, maybe you lost a couple years of Ricky Williams at his absolute greatest, but you're still talking about a guy who rushed for 10,000 yards.
Led the league in rushing at least once, I want to say,
yeah.
Right?
And when he came back to Miami, was still an effective player.
Yeah, I know. Again, you might have thought he was going to be the greatest running back of all time, right? Coming out of Texas, he had that look, and that he wouldn't have been crazy. I mean, heck, you know, Ditka thought he was going to be great. Traded the whole draft to get him.
You weren't kidding.
Let's see.
Put on that dress.
Let's see. Oh, got this one from the text line. Can't believe I just heard the Jaguars and Super Bowl in the same sentence. Worst team in the NFL. LOL. Go pound sand. Got several for Tebow. Got one for Peter Warwick here.
Oh,
so
he just never did anything.
Peter Warwick is like, wait a minute. How'd you get slow? How did you become so slow and not quick? and all those things. Really thought he'd be a much better player than he was in the National Football League. Obviously, didn't turn out that way. Let's see. The stat for Aaron Rodgers, this one on the text line as well, is to take out the quick screen passes so that those completions aren't boosting since they're almost gimmies.
Makes sense.
Well, take them out for everybody then.
No, they do. That's why he's that's why he was the best in that stat.
What was the stat?
It was like with 2.6 seconds after the snap.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah.
It's to take out the quick screen passes.
He was the best in that.
I got you. 2.6 seems like... That's not a very arbitrary number, though. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know how they came up with that number.
Because the screen pass, you would say, like, those wide receiver screens are out of your hands in under a second.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you take it's like one step and throw, whatever, without to get getting too far afield on that whole thing. I think we got a couple on the line, so let's get to them. 641-1010. Mac, up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mac. How are you?
Doing good, Mike. Doing good, Tony. Listen, my three, and listen, all these are good that have been texted in, but I think one that's been left out. My three were, in no particular order, Ryan Leaf, Orlando Pace, and the Boz. I have not heard Orlando Pace mentioned, and he was supposed to be the greatest offensive line ever.
You think Orlando Pace has failed to live up to the hype in the NFL?
I just thought he was mediocre at best. And I mean, he was supposed to be like the best offensive line ever. Kind of like a Michael Orr thing. He's kind of disappeared. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense to you guys?
No, not when it comes to Orlando Pace.
He was a Hall of Fame finalist last year.
Yes. Orlando Pace was far from run of the mill. Orlando Pace actually stunned me that he didn't get into the Hall of Fame last year. Was last year his first time on the ballot?
Yeah.
First time on the ballot, he made it into a short list for Hall of Fame finalists. I'm pretty sure Orlando Pace lived up to the hype in the National Football League. Now, if you want to say he wasn't the best all-time greatest lineman, okay, but our standard for today is, did they make it big or not? I think if you're a Hall of Fame finalist after 1 year on the ballot,
you did all right.
You probably made it big.
You did good, so kid.
I would disagree with you on that one, Mac, but thank you for the call nonetheless. And let's get one more in under the wire. Mike is up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
I got three that you guys didn't call out. Kajana Carter from Penn State. I just thought he was going to be a beast. And do you guys correct me if I'm wrong with his first name, David Palmer? Number two for Alabama.
At Alabama, David Palmer, yep.
Wow, he was Mr. Everything for Alabama back then, and I just thought he was going to be good. And I'm going to take this off the air, and I know you guys are going to slap me cross a few times.
But
Tony Boselli, if you're going to say Ricky Williams, you got to say Boselli because of the injuries and the length of time. He was good. I just thought he was going to be an Orlando Pace. You know, I thought he was going to be one of those guys.
He was.
First ballot. But you think
he was? He was, except for the long journey. He made the Pro Bowl 5 out of 6 years.
Yeah,
that he played in the National Football League. I mean, I will slap you across the face on that one, Mike, in a nice way, metaphorically. Thanks for the call.
I get it. If there are people,
was great.
Right? If you feel the same way, like if you feel like Ricky Williams is the guy that belongs on the list, I suppose you could make an argument for Tony Boselli being on the list.
I don't think,
but
they,
I think
either
you and
one
I, right? We made it pretty clear we don't think Ricky belongs anywhere near this thing.
You run for 10,000 yards, you've done something right.
Right?
Maybe you left some on the table, but you did okay. Tony, his body gave out on him. Tony was great. Tony made it big. Tony was a star in the National Football League. Just, you know. Did Terrell Davis make it big? I'd say yes.
Yeah.
He did. He won MVP of the league, right? He won a couple of Super Bowls. But he only had 4 good years. Tony had 6 good years, 5 that he ended up in the Pro Bowl. I mean, the guy was phenomenal.
Yep.
He's out of town. He can't even hear me say that right now. He's like, I don't want to tell you where he is.
He's right above you. He's staring at you angrily.
Actually, I called him yesterday. I texted him to see if he'd come on today. We're just going to catch up. We haven't had Tony on in a while. So hopefully we'll get a chance to do that next week. Probably see him out of the OTAs at some point in time.
Yeah. Can I say something real quick before we
Tony,
get out of here today?
Do.
I know. I feel like we've been doing this show for a little over a year now, right?
And that's because we have.
And it's almost become like a hangout for Jaguars fans, it feels like. And it's this worldwide hangout for the fans that are all over the world, and we, you know, I've tried to attach myself a little bit to Jaguars Twitter a little bit more than I did before the show came on, and I feel like I've gotten to know a lot of you guys, and I know that there was a loss among the fan base yesterday. Jimmy passed away after a battle with cancer. I just wanted to acknowledge it for the fans that we have that are on Jaguars Twitter, for the Bold City Brigade out there that I know are still mourning a loss that they had overnight last night after a battle with cancer for Jimmy. I know I saw earlier today Bold City Brigade said his seat's going to remain open.
I saw that too.
For the opener today, and that going forward they're going to let a fan come in from anywhere around the world, the country, whatever, come in and do that. But did want to acknowledge that because I know there are fans out there that are listening to us today that are mourning the loss of a dear friend.
So, and condolences to his family and close friends on that score as well. Well said, as usual, by Fat Tony. Thank you for that, Tony. And we are the worldwide gathering place, we hope, for
we've enjoyed
Jaguar
doing
Nation.
It.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. It's a privilege for us to do it. We're just the lucky ones who get to facilitate that. We have got to run, as we are all out of time here on Jaguars Today this morning, but well spent last couple of minutes there. On the other side, when we come back, I'll quickly give you the headline capsule version of this Deflategate spin that just came out this morning. And we didn't have to belabor it, but we'll just mention it on the other side. So thanks for all of you out there today for listening. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Thanks to Rakeith Waters for stepping up, conducting the show as he typically does in fine fashion. Tyler Devitt, get well soon. We'll see you back here next week. For Joe Fortunato and for anybody else I may have left out, including Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars Today. I will talk to you next Wednesday. Tony will be back with you next Tuesday. Everybody have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend from all of us here at 1010XL 92.5 FM.